We're speaking to travel troubleshooter Christopher Elliott. He handles travel and consumer issues, too, at Elliott.org. That's Elliott.org. And you had, it was a column that ran in the Washington Post, and then it was a rerun in the Dallas Morning News on the, the 11th of April. And the headline that they gave you was, "A Valid Passport May Not Be Enough." And it was fascinating because as I read it, I realized we've been in lockdown for a year. And except for the really adventurous and the ones who really had to travel, we may not be up to snuff on the paperwork and the things that we need to remember. And one of them is to check the passport date on our passport. What's that all about?
Yeah, you know, and interestingly, the original headline on that story, which I guess my editors didn't use, was "Your passport may have already expired." And that's what a lot of my readers are noticing, is that when they go to look at their passport, it either has out and out expired, or they realize that they cannot get into the country that they want to visit because of what's called the 6-month rule. And the 6-month rule says that your passport has to be valid 6 months after your return. And if it's not, they will not let you into the country.
You had a couple of horror stories in that column. One was a family. They ended up paying $17,000 plus, almost $18,000, because of a passport expiration date. Some countries are 3 months, some are 6 months. How do we get a handle on all of this?
Well, just to be safe, you should always have at least 6 months, but I said in the column it should be maybe more like 8 months of validity on your passport. That way you know that you're going to always be able to get into the country. The issue is that airlines also have their own rules, and I point that out. There's a site called Tumantic where you can go and find out what your actual passport requirements are, and airlines are sticking to that and not necessarily the State Department rules or the rules of the country. And so they're erring on the side of caution. If you want to know if your airline is going to let you board the flight, go to that site. It's on IATA.org. It's called Tumantic, and they'll tell you whether or not you can board a flight with the passport with the current expiration date. Now, what I say in addition to that is I think that the technology now exists for airlines to check your passport expiration date when they sell you the ticket. So they won't sell you a ticket if your passport has already or will expire by the time that you return. And that's really the right decision to make, is don't sell a ticket if you don't have the right paperwork.
What's it all about? I mean, I have a passport, let's say, and the expiration date, let's pick one, it says December 1st, and I'm going to be traveling to Italy, and I'm going to be traveling in November. Well, my passport's, it's valid, it's not expired, but Italy won't let me in and the airline won't let me on the plane. Why does it matter?
The confusing thing is that Italy might let you in and your airline might also allow you in. And if there's no rhyme or reason to it, sometimes you get caught and they say, look, we need at least 6 months, and sometimes they let you in. And an example I give is when I was supposed to visit France and we had only 4 months on our passports. And I thought, well, they're going to, there goes our trip. And we got to the airport and they said, fine. They waved us through. So really it's, I can't say for certain that you'll be turned down, but you could be. And that's why I recommend at least 8 months on your passport, just to be on the safe side.
All right. Now that's the passport for travel. And for those of us who have to dust them off and, get them out of the drawer and even remember where we put them a year or more ago, there are other things to consider if we are planning to travel out of the country, and that involves quarantine rules, it involves testing before we can come back to the United States. Help us sort this out. Let's take a hypothetical traveler who wants to go to France, and their passport's valid, they've listened to you and they're up to snuff on that. What do they need to think about if they're going to go to another country and then come home to Texas?
And that's really the big hot button issue right now that you mentioned. It's not just your passport. It's also your vaccine passport. Right now the EU does not have a vaccine passport. And I should define what I mean by vaccine passport. It's basically a certification that you've received both of your vaccines. And right now, Israel has one, EU is working on one, should have one by June. What you have to do is go to the State Department website, look up what the State Department is saying about travel to France, go to the French Embassy website and find out what the requirements are for entering the country, and then you have to stay up to date on it before your trip, because the requirements change so quickly. I mean, in just the last 2 weeks, we've had we've had lockdowns in places like France. We've had a surging number of cases. We've had the requirements have changed. I get a lot of questions from people who say, I wanted to go to Europe this summer. Do you think that's still going to happen? You just can't know. Things could get better. The number of cases could go down. You might be able to get into the country. But as of now, these vaccine testing and quarantine requirements are all over the board and changing by the minute. If I gave you the information right now, it could be obsolete. It probably would be obsolete in another 2 or 3 days.
We're recording this on the 13th of April, and as you say, things are going to change. So, check with the various websites that are necessary for your travel. But one of the issues, what are you hearing about vaccine passports, whatever form it takes? Because, as you have pointed out many times, you can go online and buy a card. You can go online and find out how to design a card that looks like it came directly from the Centers for Disease Control. You can fill it out. You never had a shot. We need something that's secure, don't we?
We absolutely do. And I've been a big supporter of, I'm going to call them vaccine certifications, because now, unfortunately, vaccine passports is become a hot button issue. It's become very political.
Right.
Look, I have a driver's license. I had to give my state government information in order to get a driver's license. I have a U.S. passport. I had to give information to the U.S. government in order to get that passport. If I go to another country, that country is well within its rights to require a vaccine of some kind. The example that I give is yellow fever when I visited Kenya a couple of years back. That information is all recorded on an unsecure document called a yellow card. And the problem with a yellow card is that anyone can buy one and anyone could fill one out. What we really need is a secure way of establishing that you've had all your vaccines, not just COVID-19, but other things too, like yellow fever. And so they are working on an electronic version, a more secure version of the yellow card. And I think that ultimately is going to be the answer, but it's probably going to be months, maybe years before we have a worldwide standard.
So for now though, if you do have a card, and let's hope that what you have is legitimate, is it a good idea just to have it with you when you travel, even if it's in the United States?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, probably not a good idea to laminate your card, because there may be a booster shot. So you can't record the booster shot on a laminated card. So don't laminate that COVID-19 vaccine record that you get when you get your shot. Keep it with you. If you have a yellow card, if you've gone overseas and you've gotten those shots and you have that yellow, that it looks like a passport, get them to record the COVID shot on the passport, on the yellow card. That way you have kind of a redundant, have it in duplicate. Those are the two things that you would want to do if you've had the shots. If you haven't had the shots, you probably are going to have to get a negative COVID test before you go into another country. You may also be subject to some quarantine requirements, so just expect that. And we probably are not going to have any kind of a vaccine passport for a while, at least not one that is universally accepted.
And the State Department, you mentioned as their website, you also mentioned the International Air Transport Association. But the easy way to remember is your website. So what's that?
Yes, elliott.org, ELLIOTT.org, so two L's and two T's. We have information about all that on the site, plus other consumer stories that I think your listeners will find very interesting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.